Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, August 15th here on a Thursday night. We got some football going on the NFL Network. It is 10-3 New England Patriots over the Philadelphia Eagles. Just had Drake May run in a four-yard touchdown in for the end zone for the Pats to put them on top in that matchup.
And they almost guarantee, I think I was, what was I watching today? Might have been on FS1 or something that they said, no, Drake May needs to sit. You know how I just throw a rookie out there? They said, no, he has a ways to go.
Expect Brissett to be the starter for them?
Yeah, they said no, that he's not ready. You know how you look at Caleb Williams, Jane Daniels, that no, they beat a guy from the get-go?
Well, it looks like they did start Brissett in this game, the Patriots. He went 3 of 7 with a pick. And then May came in, ran for a touchdown. So the rookie trying to make a name.
Yeah, but the way they were saying Holly, he needs to get a, you know, red shirt. Type. Not that he won't be part of their future, but not just throwing him out there.
Or maybe through midway through the season, put him in to get some reps.
Right.
Looking at some of our training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American, going to get into a one-on-one interview that the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, did with punter Lou Headley. Let's hear what he had to say.
What's the distance between West Adelaide and Mandurah, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's South Australia is the next state over. I'm in Western Australia, so I think it's probably about a 8 to 10 hour drive, I reckon. If you're from state to state, it's still pretty far, but it's probably like an 2 hour flight.
Right, because people, a couple of specialists from Australia, but you don't understand. Yeah. It's a huge place.
No, Australia is massive. I think to give people a better idea, you Google like Australia on the map of the USA, and you can see how big Australia is. We just have no cities. Inner Australia, you know what I mean? It's all just bush and desert out there, so it's kind of... All our big main cities are kind of along the coastline, if that makes sense.
It does. The task of the offseason, which is, from a kicker, you know how to flip the field. It's not like you never did it, but the move from less Aussie, more traditional,
yep.
I guess something you, when the team asked you, the coaches asked you, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you get it, right?
Yeah, definitely understand that aspect, and like I said, I think going into this preseason, that was one of my main... You know, I wanted to improve on that. And like I said, when we're, you know, backed up and we need to flip the field, like it's my job as an NFL punter to be able to do that and put the defense in a great position. So definitely, a lot of work on that this year. They'll be, you know, changing up from not so much all Aussie style kicks and, you know, throwing spirals in there 2 or 3 times a game. And I think that'll overall the numbers will be a lot better anyway from just throwing those in.
I'm curious as to what the kicker, the punt returners that we have here, and Rashid and all those guys, do you hear, and I would assume this would be part of the strategies that I don't want that Lou Headley point command. I mean, it's spinning wildly, and I don't know if I want to. It's low, it's to the side. They have to make this decision. Do I want to rush up and get this? I mean, that's part of the strategy, right?
Yeah, I think sometimes, obviously, that's one of the benefits about the Australian-style bowl. Like, sometimes you hang it up there, and it's kind of an uncomfortable ball to sit under. So, but with Sheed, I mean, I don't think much worries that kid. You know what I mean? He's the best in the NFL at what he does. So, I mean, Sheed will catch anything.
And finally, I was talking to Blake Groupie, and he was like, man, you don't understand how our specialist room, like, you guys became the easy... You know, accents to listen to. He says, Charlie, he's like looking right at him. He goes, I can't understand what he's saying, but that's kind of a unique room to have. To Australia and then, Ireland and Gaelic football. What do you know about Gaelic football?
I don't know too much about Gaelic. I know they used to have an international series with the Australian rules football and Gaelic, and they combine the rules a little bit. So I used to watch that growing up, but never watched a Gaelic football game in my life. But obviously, Charlie's fresh off the boat, so. Like I told him when I first got over here, it wasn't about them not understanding you. It's just about the speed you talk. So once you slow down everything, and I'm sure he'll gather that over the next couple of years, and he'll get it right.
Hey, have a great camp. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, mate.
Thanks, Lou. Thank appreciate
you.
It.
Australian punter Lou Headley there. Have you been to Australia, Cajun Cannon?
Scuba diving.
Okay.
Yeah, Great Barrier Reef.
Nice.
But when you think about a But, you know, it just shows you the world's global.
Two Australian punters and a Gaelic kicker.
From Ireland. Yes. It's amazing. And, you know, now that they, you know, I had a strong accent. It was a little different, a little Cajun accent when I was talking in the 1980s. But they said, to slow down, to talk really fast. So you can understand their English dialect. But it's still English, whether it's from Australia, Ireland, United States, England, it's all English and stuff. But Lou Hedley, where he's at right now, and, you know, if he was punting the traditional way last year, they would have said, that's fine. You don't have to do anything else if his net was higher. The net is not the gross. You have to look at the net. Because one thing he did do, and that being the coverage units, we were number one in the NFL. We didn't have to worry about like Rashid Shaheed or no top returner returning a punt against the Saints, because we only gave up 5.5 yards of punt return, which was number one in the NFL as far as punt coverage. And that was outstanding. And before I continue with Lou Hedley, looking at this, this was also outstanding. We were right behind Detroit and just ahead of Cincinnati. You look at kickoff average starting position. Now, different kickoff rules. You know, we were starting at the 24.5-yard line, basically, right behind Detroit and just ahead of Cincinnati. So now the rules could be different, but it just shows you whether we covering or we're returning kickoff or punt coverage that we don't get out coach. We're going to have the best of the best players, and we're going to have the execution. So when I look at Lou Hedley and what he was able to do, because, you know, the Aussie style where it's more a helicopter-type punt, you know, not just traditional spiral where you're kicking off the side of your foot, which he can do both. You know, and he's from, it's not like he came straight from Australia. No, he punted for University of Miami. He punted at the U before he was able to come here. And if you just look this on the surface, and I touched on this a little bit last night even. If you look at competition, nothing wrong with that. You got Hayball and you got Lou Hedley. Well, you might say, Hayball had an advantage over Hedley. Hedley punted 4 times, Hayball 3 times, and Hayball averaged 53 yards a punt. He had that 61-yarder, which is a beautiful punt, but it was
definitely
a touchback.
Rocketed that, right.
But it was a touchback.
Exactly.
Where Hedley kicked 3 inside the 20-yard line.
Hello.
So you look at when all said and done. That's why look at every game, you know, because you look at the hidden yardage and field position. Lou Hedley's net, his gross was 46.8, but his net was 41.8. Okay, basically 42 yards. Where Hayball's gross was 53, but his net was only 35, almost 20 yards worse than his gross average. So that's why. That's monumental. 42 yards makes it 35. You say, oh, Bobby, that's only 7 yards. No, that's almost like a first down. One less first down. So that's why I don't see Hedley losing the job to Hayball. And I think he has gotten better. He's very coachable, and he can punt a lot of different ways. I think he's gotten better punting for distance, and he's also been pretty accurate as far as directional punting. And how that comes. Now, speaking of punting, is Marstead still the Jets punter? Is he still hanging in there, Charlie and Steve? Do y'all know? Because he got to be gone on like, I don't know, 14, for sure 14, if not
yes,
15
he is.
Or 16 years.
He is still with the Jets at age 38, guys.
That
38
is,
years young for Marstead.
That's a pro's pro. What is this? Is 15 or 16 years?
Started in 2009, so I guess this is going into year 16?
Yeah, now, Marstead is a pro's pro.
Oh, you remember when he's here at some of those videos from the workout room of him being able to just, you know, lift so much weight. It was really impressive just to see him. He was a guy that was just carved out of stone, too.
You know, and think about this. You're playing a kid's game, that being football, and, you know, you might be telling your grandkids, and they're just learning maybe the game, and you're not playing anymore, and he's on the rocking chair. And he'd be like, yeah, I used to see this ball. This is what I made a living. You know, you're not farming or doing anything. Like, no, I kicked this thing around, and I became a multimillionaire. by being able to kick this at a high level.
Really amazing to see him, like you said, still in the league, able to do it. And yeah, for a while, you know, obviously dealing with Gillikin the year before was kind of like, man, I miss obviously him too being in the lineup, but just too much money for that punter.
No, and Blake Gillikin is now with the
Arizona
Cardinals.
So it was like, oh, a Saints punt fest last preseason.
Yeah, you just got to travel. You just got to go try and make it wherever you're at. And speaking of like where you know, you're coming from, Morstead's from, his family's from England. You know, he played at SMU with June Jones. That's right. How I first met Morstead. And,
okay.
You know, buddies with him because June Jones, we had that connection there. And June told me he was going to, no, but he'll make it, he'll play a long time.
Yeah.
And June knew Morstead was that good. But I want to say, I think he might have been raised in England and then he came to SMU or he came to the States, but he went to SMU. But I know his family is from England.
That training camp interview by Mike Haas, the voice of the Saints, with Lou Headley was brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. When we get back, going to check in on the Dirty Birds. Mike Raimondi with Atlanta Falcons beat reporter for ESPN. Tell us about all the moves that the Falcons have been making and also how training camp's going for the ATL. What you got, Cannon?
And then we have on the text, we have the tackle. We have the answer for the right tackle.
Oh, 25, who's it going to be?
25-44, I should say. It says Taylor Hill. Let's put Taylor here with at right tackle.
I
why not?
Taylor Hill.
He plays everywhere else. Taylor Hill. Is that a combination of Taysom Hill and Taylor Swift? Taylor Hill? I don't know.
Sounds like a lethal player.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more sports talk right after this.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon. Now getting welcome in Mark Raimondi, who covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. And man, oh man, those Dirty Birds making a splash in the NFC South these last 2 days. Mark, how's it going?
They're keeping me busy over here, guys. Keeping
yes,
me very
indeed.
Busy the last couple of days.
Well, Mark, what is the vibe in the city now all of a sudden? When you get a guy, it's just, I guess, icing on top of the cake. When you get a guy like Justin Simmons and Judon, look how with that. I mean, is it just like, seems like the rich are getting richer right now as far as the preseason? What is the fan base? Are they ecstatic right now?
I think that there was a lot of hope after getting a guy like Kirk Cousins in the offseason, right, and then building that offense to where, you know, it could be a pretty darn good offense in the NFC. And, you know, defense was kind of a question mark coming to camp, guys. And now they filled, you know, two pretty important positions with the pass rush, you know, the pass rush at the edge. Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, we're talking about pro bowlers at those positions, you know, guys that are elite, you know, at those positions where, you know, Atlanta had some question marks, some guys that were unproven, you know, in the secondary and on the line and, you know, on the edge. And Bobby, you know Atlanta, right? I mean, when the team is good, when Atlanta
yes.
has that excitement, right? You know, it fires things up. You know, it isn't always that way here, but you know, when the team is going to be good, when the Falcons are going to be good, this becomes a fucking city, and you're starting to see it now.
You know, Mark, I don't know where I heard this, but it's like all of a sudden, is there a waiting list now for season tickets that they sold out this season because the expectations are that high in Mercedes Stadium, or is that correct or not?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So it's actually, this is even before Judon and Simmons were brought in just in the last 48 hours, but for the first time in 20 years, the Falcons sold out their season tickets before training camp.
Wow.
So that was already the level of hope there was in Atlanta, you know, with Cousins, with some of the names they've run in the offense, you know, with Raheem Morris now as the coach. And now, you know, you add those two guys there and you know, it's going to be real interesting. I mean, maybe there's a contender here in the ATL.
Now, Mark, when you look at the weapons, and obviously Kirk Cousins is going to be the one to start a drink. When you look, okay, you only could pick which one would have the least success, I should say. Would it be Bijan Robinson? Look at him. Or you look Kyle Pitts, the tight end, or Drake London? I don't know. I think Drake London and Bijan Robinson, for sure they're going to work out. I still think Kyle Pitts has to prove something. Yeah, considering where he was drafted and expectations, I mean, I think he has the ability to be one amongst the best tight ends. But what's your take on that when you look at the skill people that Kirk Cousins will be utilizing?
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think, you know, Kyle Pitts, his rookie year, he looked like the next coming, right? I mean, we're talking about the Pro Bowl. We're talking about over 1,000 yards receiving. You know, things that, you know, only Mike Ditka and Jeremy Shockey did as rookies at the tight end position. That's where Kyle Pitts was as a rookie. And since then, it's been inconsistency. It's been injury. It's been a little mix of both. You know, last year was kind of both of those things. And but the one thing is he hasn't really had that top-of-the-line quarterback, you know, and Kirk Cousins is a guy that is a consistent veteran. He's a productive guy. You know, only two quarterbacks since 2000 have thrown for more interceptions, for more touchdowns than Kirk Cousins, and it's Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen. So that's pretty damn good company if you're Kirk Cousins. And I think a guy like Kyle Pitts, you know, I've watched them guys. One of my favorite parts of training camp so far has been watching Kyle Pitts in these one-on-one drills going up against safeties. And I'm not going to mention any of these guys' names, any of the safeties, but let's just say he's winning a lot of those battles, if not all those battles, in the end zone, those jump balls. He's so big. He's so explosive. You know, he can make plays in the air. He can make plays with his feet. I think it could be a big year, but I think you're right on, Bobby. It's kind of a put up or shut up year for Kyle Pitts.
Now, Mark, when you look at, I think they might, me and Mike Dettelier and Steve Geller, all sport department here at WWE, we all talking, I don't know, the safeties might have, I mean, the Falcons might have the best duo safeties. Now, I mean, we that much of a Justin Simmons fan, and then Jesse Bates. But then, okay, I'll look at that. But the one we're really high on our cornerbacks. I think we're like three, like Paulson and Debo, Lattimore, Alante Taylor. And then we got Kool-Aid. I think we for sure three, if not four, deep. So where are the Falcons at the cornerback? I look at what the addition, what in offseason, Antonio Hamilton, senior. But where are they at in the cornerback position as far as the Falcons? I know they have the safeties, but how do you break down the corner position?
So A.J. Terrell is the number one guy. You know, he's a former Pro Bowler, and he's very, very solid. He's in his contract year. He does not have a contract for 2025, so you could imagine that there might be a lot of motivation for him to put up, you know, some numbers. He hasn't had an interception in two seasons. You know, he's their top corner, but he's not really been a ball hawk at that position. And then the rest of the cornerback group is really, it's unproven. So last year, it was a little bit of Clark Phillips III and a little bit of Mike Hughes, and it's kind of the same thing right now with those two guys. Right now, Mike Hughes is the CB2 after Terrell. And then there's kind of a host of some veterans who are trying to break out. Kevin King, who hasn't played in a few years. He was in Green Bay. And like you mentioned Antonio Hamilton Sr.
Is he a special teams guy or what?
I mean, Kevin King right now is.
How about Antonio
like,
Hamilton? Is he a special teams guy? Did I misspeak with him or?
No. He's a guy that is he's been playing with the second unit of cornerbacks. D. Alford has been in the nickel on the first team, and then you know Kevin King is right there. Kevin King had an interception in the preseason game last week against Miami. So these are all guys that are probably going to make the team, and it's still, I think, to me, very wide open as far as that cornerback group, who is going to step up. Clark Phillips III is a young kid. He's 22 years old. I think that he has a lot of potential. He's made a lot of big plays in practice, but he's got to do it on the field, you know, when it counts in the games.
Now, Mark, unlike the Saints, you know, you're always looking for stability and how they work, the continuity amongst each other. The Falcons offensive line, where, you know, ultimately you always want five guys and then you want to have depth, six or seven guys. The Saints wish they had three right now. I don't know. And none to write home about in the offensive line. But all what you witness when you watch Falcons football, how do you view that offensive line? I know Chris Lindstrom. You know, we've had outstanding guards here like Hall of Famers, Jari Evans, you know, Carl Nix. And then you even look at tackle Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, even Max Unger was at center. So we know what great offensive lines are. How do you look at that Falcons offensive line and guys that have really stood out? And are there any weak links along that offensive line?
I think that the Falcons are looking at their offensive line very much as one of the team's biggest strengths. There's a lot of continuity, which, as you know, is so important with that line, right? It's chemistry, it's the continuity, it's the scheme. You know, Raheem Morris is the new coach. here in Atlanta, but the offensive line coach, Dwayne Ledford, has been here for a few years, and they kept him on because of that continuity. You know, you want to have that same voice in the room. You want to have that same group, and they have the same group, you know, for the last few years. The youngest guy is Matthew Bergeron, who was a guard on the other side of Chris Lindstrom. He was a rookie last year from Syracuse, and he played pretty well, and they're very excited about how he's going to play this year. Jake Matthews at left tackle. He's been on the team, you know, since they were, you know, a contender back in the Matt Ryan days. So he's been around for a long time, and he's still a stalwart over there at left tackle. Caleb McGarry is a very good run blocker at right tackle. Look for Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier to run behind Caleb McGarry quite a bit. So they got a nice little team. You know, Drew Dahlman at center is a very cerebral, intelligent guy. He's a veteran as well. Kirk Cousins likes those guys. You know, he's been out to dinner with those guys, the O-line, and he's taking care of them. And, you know, they're forging a chemistry as well with Cousins. And I think that, again, that group, I think they see as a very big strength. Lindstrom is one of the best guards in the league. You know, there's no doubt about it. And I think the group as a whole is quite good.
Now, Mark, what about obviously you want one man, QB1 and all that. You talk about that being Kirk Cousins right now. Could the Falcons have their cake and eat it too, where you have Kirk Cousins and it might be, well, so what if Michael Penix doesn't play? And if Kirk Cousins is getting it done, he might have to wait like Jordan Love before you get an opportunity to play. Look at Steve Young. He's waiting in the wings with Joe Montana back in the day when I was playing, you know. So when I look at that, I guess that's a good problem to have, that Michael Penix might be that good, but Kirk Cousins still has something left in the tank. And as long as he's winning, then you go with a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, how's Cousins look coming back from that injury?
What is Achilles? Yeah.
He's looked actually very sharp, but, you know, I think that was one of the big concerns in Atlanta going into into training camp, because in OTAs, he was able to do everything. But, you know, as you guys know, there's no pads, you know, there's no contact in OTAs. And there was a real worry that maybe he would not be ready for training camp as far as be able to get all the reps. He hasn't been limited at all. You know, he's really, I don't want to say he's 100%. I think his strategy was he wanted to do the rest of his rehab on the field. You know, he wanted to make the play the rest of his rehab. And that's what he's done, and he's looked really, really good in practice. He's been really, really sharp. Just yesterday, he had a great day. He was 21 of 27. He hit Drake London on three deep balls where, you know, they were basically jump balls, and Drake London got up and got them for touchdowns. Very, very impressive so far. And I think if you're a Falcons fan, you have to be excited, because this is a team that hasn't had that quarterback play since Matt Ryan, really, you know, and it's been a struggle. Also, one of the reasons why they wanted to get Michael Penix Jr., because there was no succession plan after Matt Ryan, and now they believe they have their quarterback of the present and their quarterback for the future.
Oh, when it rains, it pours, I guess, if you're part of Hooded Nation right now, but I guess that's why they play the game. And, Mark, I don't know if you agree with this, and I try and tell Saints fans or this would be anybody. If you're a Buccaneers fan, the NFC South, I said, okay, you would love to go 6-0. Now 5-1, oh boy, then you have a great chance for sure. You probably win the NFC South. Now you want to avoid 500, 3-3, but if you could be 4-2, and that's why. Tell me if you agree with this. If the Saints, let's say, would be 4-2, and you split with the Falcons 1-1, I think that'd be a big feather in the Saints' cap. And you know what? Why I say it could be, it's hard to sweep a team, and it's a rivalry-type game. So no matter 100%. If you think the Falcons are better than the Saints or the Saints are better than the Falcons, a lot of times they end up...
Yeah, we always say toss the records out the window with them.
Yeah, they end up splitting like 1-1 when all said and done.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Falcons could have the best roster in the NFL, and that Saints game is always going to be a hard one. It's Falcons-Saints. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where team is at. Like you said, throw the records out the window. I think that, you know, 1-1 is almost destiny. You know, if you can go 2-0, if you're the Falcons against the Saints or vice versa, I think that you're pretty happy with, you know, the season could be a very good, you know, that could be a very good omen for the season. The division is going to be really interesting because, you know, Tampa's a pretty good team. You know, Baker Mayfield had a comeback year last year. Can he do it again? You know, can he do that again? And then, you know, the Saints have, obviously, like you guys said, some question marks, but there's some good players down there.
We got a good defense. Mark, the Saints got a good defense. That's
absolutely 100%. And that offense of the Falcons against the Saints is going to be some prime football right there.
You know, Mark, and the one thing I think I've hit on everything with you, but But we really, I think he's amongst the best. He's like a Dome Patrol linebacker. DeMario Davis, double D. He might be the greatest free agent acquisition besides Drew Brees in Saints history. I think that highly of DeMario Davis, and I think he still has a lot left in the tank, even though he's basically 35 years of age, and, you know, take it 1 year at a time right now. But how do you view the Falcons' linebacking core?
That's interesting. It's like the middle linebackers, the inside guys, are they're veterans. You know, Caden Ellis and Nate Landman is kind of a, you know, kind of the enforcer in there. And then you have a guy like Troy Anderson, who is a tremendous athlete out of Montana. He missed most of last season with an injury, so he's coming back, and they're really hoping to get him back in the swing of things. And then, you know, on the edge, they just got Junon, and I think that the Falcons' pass rush has struggled so much. You know, you guys know this. I mean, they have not had a double-digit sack leader since Vic Beasley, you know, in 2016.
Yeah.
That's the last time they made the Super Bowl. You know, it's been a minute, you know, since they've been able to get to the quarterback, and they're hoping that Judon is going to be that guy, but they need someone else. I mean, you can't just have one guy rushing the quarterback. You know, he's going to get double-teamed, there's no doubt. So they need a guy like an Arnold Ebiketie, who has been kind of like their third-down edge in training camp. They need a guy like a Lorenzo Carter, you know, guy from UGA, you know, local guy here from Georgia. They need someone like that, a Damone Harris, a D'Angelo Malone, somebody. It's going to have to be by committee. They don't have that one other standout player. But without Judon, that was going to be a really, really big question mark for this team. So getting him was a really big key.
You brought up Caden Ellis, Mark. I'm curious about another former Black and Gold member. What's David Onyemata been like in training camp?
Very good, you know, very good. I think everyone knows kind of what they get with David Onyemata. He's steady Eddie. You know, he's always solid. He's going to stuff the run. You know, he's going to get to the quarterback when necessary. You have him and Grady Jarrett, you know, alongside each other, and I think that's an area where the Falcons are very comfortable. And even before they bring in Judon and they bring in Justin Simmons, I think when you're talking about the Falcons' defense, they felt like that was their strength, the interior of that defensive line with D.O. and with Grady Jarrett, you know, two veterans in there. So that's definitely a strength of the team, but they need to get to the quarterback. That's the bottom line. You know, that makes everybody better when they get to the quarterback. And that's still, you know, even with Judon, I still think that's a question mark for Atlanta.
And looking at that D-line, too, and a rookie in Ruka Roro, I know he's dealing with a shoulder issue right now. How's he progressing?
Yeah, he missed practice with a shoulder injury today, and he's a guy that I think he's going to play this year, and I think he'll be pretty good. But I think in 2 or 3 years he's going to be a really good player. He didn't start playing football until he was a junior in high school, and he's got some raw tools. He's got some length. He's got some explosiveness. I think they look at him as a guy that, you know, when Grady Jarrett is kind of ready to hang up the cleats, and David Onyemata, right, these guys are, you know, 30, 31 years old. I think they see Rook as a guy who can step in and kind of be like the next version of one of those guys.
Mark, awesome stuff. Definitely appreciate the time. And no, we'll be talking to you soon with the ATL playing the Saints pretty early in the season.
Anytime. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Mark Raimondi covers the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. You can follow him at Mark Raimondi on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, going to get into our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Also want to give you folks an update on the preseason action going on right now in New England. We've got the Patriots up 10-3 over the Eagles. That game is now in the third quarter there. Some Thursday night action. We'll be getting in action with the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night. Obviously, kickoff right here on WWL, yeah. Saints Radio, 7 p.m.
And prime time.
Prime time, baby.
There's only two NFL games on. We're on Fox, and then they got one on the NFL Network.
Right.
So does that count if it's preseason as prime time? I guess it is. It's Sunday Night Football, right?
Exactly. It counts.
It doesn't count, but it counts as far as the nation watching.
It definitely counts for Spencer Rattler and Jake Haner.
Yeah, the nation's watching. So, hopefully, I don't know. We don't even have to win. I just want us to look better on the line.
For sure.
You know, how about we string a few first downs from the get-go?
You don't want to see our guys up front getting manhandled.
Okay, you know we've done well, Jake Haner and Spencer Rattler. Yeah, we don't want up front guys get manhandled. We've done good 2-minute offense. But what about traditional offense when you're not, like, hurrying up? Then some fans might say, Well, Bobby, we got to run two-minute offense all the time.
It's always 2 minutes.
No matter what. Yeah, it's always 2 minutes. Let's run those plays. But they're not really game planning and all that. But the one thing, no, that's a defense's best friend. They love it. They love it when you have these if you can score now, 12, 14 play drives,
right,
and you're winning time of possession, you know why they love it? Because they're not they're a lot fresher. They're ready to roll when they finally get in there.
Well, fresh off the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Bobby, we go to Longshoreman. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Steve Geller and the Cajun Cannon, my buddy?
We doing great.
Brother from another mother. What's going on, fellas?
All right, Longshoreman. I know you've been listening and working in this heat and all that, but we need to put light a fire on their offensive line. We need to put a little heat on them.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby, I didn't get to watch, but the first quarter, me and a couple of my brothers and nephews, we were out at Chandelier all weekend on a 3-day fishing trip. We got to had Wi-Fi, so we were able to. I watched the first quarter, and then after a few vodka and on the rocks, I was kind of like, time to just keep on drinking. Couldn't watch much of it, but I got to watch some of it. I apologize for not catching y'all on the second guest show. I was able to listen a little bit. Wanted to come out to the slipper, but I was too dadgum burnt out.
Well, that's all right. There's always another Monday. We always there to serve a slipper every Monday to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah. But look, I did hear earlier this afternoon when you first came on, I heard a little something about Fuaga, so I was a little concerned about that. But Charlie told me that it sounds like just a little bit of muscle tightness maybe in the back. Hopefully he'll be okay.
Well, hopefully, yes. Hopefully, and it's like, even if he's not okay, we have to just pray over him that he will be okay. We need him. We need Fuaga. And we don't need him for Sunday against the 49ers. We need him ready to roll week one. Now, the only thing is, you want him to actually get more game snaps. Instead of, whether it's a series or two against the 49ers, a series against the Titans. To get in the swing of things.
Got to get up to speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to get up to speed. Got to get ready for regular season speed. But look, I know everybody's, I hear all the talk about Atlanta. And, we've been fired up early on in training camp and preseason about the Saints, our Houdats and, the Saints and black and gold. And look, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So you get all fired up. Oh, yeah, we're looking great at camp. We're looking great at preseason. And then what happens? You have a couple of injuries and all of a sudden your team comes crashing down.
That's true.
So look, I'm not going to get too worked up about Atlanta. And I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I've liked him since day one. I think he's a great quarterback. But he's been up and down. So, look, all we can do is hope that maybe he has a down season and we can take care of business.
Yeah, I think he's a good model citizen, the quarterback position.
He's been a thorn in the Saints side, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then, I don't know if I'd ever have been comfortable doing this. I think he did an outstanding job. Charlie, the different quarterbacks, what was that show when they went in their lives?
Oh, yeah, Quarterback was the name of it on Netflix.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
They even let the cameras in when he was going to see a sports psychologist. I was shocked.
Yes. I mean, that was pretty open. Steve, not too many people would do that.
No, because it gets onto your personal life, not just your on-the-field work.
Right. So
I don't want people prying into that.
not everybody's going to be top five. Right now, I can tell you what, that I wish and I hope that Derek Carr could be as consistent as Kirk Cousins. Now, you might say, well, Bobby, so what if he's as consistent as Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins ain't won a Super Bowl. Man, we're just trying to get back to the playoffs right now. Super Bowl, you say, oh, Bobby, it's ultimately to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, but you have to take baby steps where we're at right now. We can't be four straight seasons not going to the postseason. We got to get to the postseason. And right now with Atlanta, you think they would think this is a successful season if Kirk Cousins takes Atlanta to the postseason?
Yeah, would you say it's been, 6 years for them?
Yes, 6 seasons they have not been. Since Matt Ryan in the postseason. So he don't have to go win a Super Bowl for Atlanta. He just has to make them relevant. I'm telling you, that's why there's always going to be room for a starter like a Kirk Cousins because there's 32 teams.
Right.
Not everybody can be Pat Mahomes.
Thanks for the call, Longshoreman. I agree with you, too. It's like, don't get too overhyped on the Falcons right now. You said it, too, Bobby. They're good on paper right now.
Yeah.
But paper ain't playing the games.
Yeah, we got to wait and see what's going to happen. No, and just to show you their expectations, they sold out Mercedes Stadium. So
more people to disappoint.
Yeah, that's going to be more pressure on them. We're under the radar. No, be on the pressure. Oh, yeah, you should beat the Saints this year. Well, no, and everybody said, then we can go like, no one's expecting us to win. And then you got that chip on your shoulder. Then you play footloose and fancy free, and you go beat Atlanta.
We're going to close out Sports Talk right after the break here on WWL. Be right back. Closing out Sports Talk today. On tomorrow's show, it'll be me and Charlie Long. We'll check in on the final training camp practice in Cali with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak at 4:25. And what are the areas concerned we want to see improvement on Sunday in San Fran, and which players need to step the bleep up? You know what we're talking about. We'll hear from head coach Dennis Allen and select players from the training camp sound bank. Plus, we'll check in with the 49ers with Josh Dubow of the Associated Press at 6:25. Just hang out with me and Charlie. That's 4 to 7 tomorrow on WWL and the Odyssey app. Checking in real quick on the preseason action in New England. Still not much going on there, Cajun Cannon. Another game, you take the under. Patriots are up 10-3 on the Eagles late in the third quarter.
Well, I'm looking at probably Saints 49ers, I don't know, the generic 2017. You know, when they played the Titans, what was it like? All the back of 17 to 13?
Yeah.
I don't know. You kind of shocked when you see any preseason game or a team score in the 30s. You shocked if that occurs. So
we'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, me and Charlie Cajun Cannon, you are out of here. Have a great weekend. Say goodnight to the folks.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that go, Saints?
Woo! Back here on Sports Talk, going to get into our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Also want to give you folks an update on the preseason action going on right now in New England. We've got the Patriots up 10-3 over the Eagles. That game is now in the third quarter there. Some Thursday night action. We'll be getting in action with the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night. Obviously, kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio, 7 p.m.
And prime time.
Prime
you know, there's,
time, baby.
There's only two NFL games on. We're on five. And then they got one on the NFL Network.
Right.
So does that count if it's preseason as prime time? I guess it is. It's Sunday Night Football, right?
Exactly. It counts.
It doesn't count, but it counts as far as the nation watching.
It definitely counts for Spencer Rattler and Jake Haner.
Yeah, the nation's watching. So, hopefully, I don't know. We don't even have to win. I just want us to look better on the line.
For sure.
You know, how about we string a few first downs from the get-go.
You don't want to see our guys up front getting manhandled.
Okay, you know we've done well? Jake Haner and Spencer Rattler. Yeah, we don't want up front guys get manhandled. We've done good two-minute offense. But what about traditional offense when you're not, like, hurrying up? Then some fans might say, well, Bobby, we got to run two-minute offense all the time.
It's always 2 minutes.
No matter what. Yeah, it's always 2 minutes. Let's run those plays. But they're not really game planning and all that. But the one thing, no, that's a defense's best friend. They love it. They love it when you have these. If you can score now 12, 14 play drives,
right,
and you win in time possession, you know why they love it? Because they're not.
they're
a lot fresher. They're ready to roll when they finally get in there.
Well, fresh off the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Bobby, we go to Longshoreman. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Steve Geller and the Cajun Cannon, my buddy.
We doing great.
Brother from another mother. What's going on, fellas?
All right, Longshoreman. I know you've been listening and working in this heat and all that, but we need to put light a fire on their offensive line. We need to put a little heat on them.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobby, I didn't get to watch, but the first quarter, me and a couple of my brothers and nephews, we were out at Chandelier all weekend on a 3-day fishing trip. We got to had Wi-Fi, so we were able to. I watched the first quarter, and then after a few vodka and on the rocks, I was kind of like, time to just keep on drinking. Couldn't watch much of it, but I got to watch some of it. And I apologize for not catching y'all on the second guest show. I was able to listen a little bit. Wanted to come out to the slipper, but I was too dadgum burnt out.
Well, that's all right. There's always another Monday. We always there to serve a slipper every Monday to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, but look, I did hear earlier this afternoon when you first came on, I heard a little something about Fuaga, so I was a little concerned about that. But Charlie
told me that it sounds like just a little bit of muscle tightness maybe in the back. Hopefully he'll be okay.
Well, hopefully, yes. Hopefully, and it's like, even if he's not okay, we have to just pray over him that he will be okay. We need him. We need Fuaga, and we don't need him for Sunday against the 49ers. We need him ready to roll week one. Now, the only thing is, you want him to actually get more game snaps. Instead of, whether it's a series or two against the 49ers, a series against the Titans, just to get in the swing of things.
Get up to speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to get up to speed. Got to get ready for regular season speed. But look, I know everybody's, I hear all the talk about Atlanta. And, we've been fired up early on in training camp and preseason about the Saints, our Houdats and, the Saints and black and gold. And look, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So you get all fired up. Oh, yeah, we're looking great at camp. We're looking great at preseason. And then what happens? You have a couple of injuries and all of a sudden your team comes crashing down.
That's true.
So look, I'm not going to get too worked up about Atlanta. And I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I've liked him since day one. I think he's a great quarterback. But he's been up and down. So, look, all we can do is hope that maybe he has a down season and we can take care of business.
Yeah, I think he's a good model citizen, the quarterback position.
He's been a thorn in the Saints' side, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then, I don't know if I'd ever have been comfortable doing this. I think he did an outstanding job. Charlie, the different quarterbacks, what was that show when they went in their lives?
Oh, yeah, Quarterback was the name of it on Netflix.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
They even let the cameras in when he was going to see a sports psychologist. I was shocked.
Yes. I mean, that was pretty open. Steve, not too many people would do that.
No, because it gets onto your personal life, not just your on-the-field work.
Right. So
I don't want people prying into that.
not everybody's going to be top five. Right now, I can tell you what, that I wish and I hope that Derek Carr could be as consistent as Kirk Cousins. Now, you might say, well, Bobby, so what if he's as consistent as Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins ain't won a Super Bowl. Man, we're just trying to get back to the playoffs right now. Super Bowl, you say, oh, Bobby, it's ultimately to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, but you have to take baby steps where we're at right now. We can't be four straight seasons not going to the postseason. We got to get to the postseason. And right now with Atlanta, you think they would think this is a successful season if Kirk Cousins takes Atlanta to the postseason?
Yeah, would you say it's been, 6 years for them?
Yes, 6 seasons they have not been. Since Matt Ryan in the postseason. So he don't have to go win a Super Bowl for Atlanta. He just has to make them relevant. I'm telling you, that's why there's always going to be room for a starter like a Kirk Cousins because there's 32 teams.
Right.
That not everybody can beat Pat Mahomes.
Thanks for the call, Longshoreman. I agree with you, too. It's like, don't get too overhyped on the Falcons right now. You said it, too, Bobby. They're good on paper right now.
Yeah.
But paper ain't playing the games.
Yeah, we got to wait and see what's going to happen. And just to show you their expectations, they sold out Mercedes Stadium. So
more people to disappoint.
Yeah, that's going to be more pressure on them. We're under the radar. No, be on the pressure. Oh, yeah, you should beat the Saints this year. And everybody said, then we can go no one's expecting us to win. And then you got that chip on your shoulder. Then you play footloose and fancy free, and you go beat Atlanta.
We're going to close out Sports Talk right after the break here on WWL. Be right back. Closing out Sports Talk today. On tomorrow's show, it'll be me and Charlie Long. We'll check in on the final training camp practice in Cali with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak at 4:25. And what are the areas concerned we want to see improvement on Sunday in San Fran, and which players need to step the bleep up? You know what we're talking about. We'll hear from head coach Dennis Allen and select players from the training camp sound bank. Plus, we'll check in with the 49ers with Josh Dubow of the Associated Press at 6:25. Just hang out with me and Charlie. That's 4 to 7 tomorrow on WWL and the Odyssey app. Checking in real quick on the preseason action in New England. Still not much going on there, Cajun Can. Another game you take the under. Patriots are up 10-3 on the Eagles late in the third quarter.
Well, I'm looking at probably Saints 49ers, I don't know, the generic 2017. When they played the Titans, what was it like? All the back of 17 to 13?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're kind of shocked when you see any preseason game or a team score in the 30s. You're shocked if that occurs. So
we'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, me and Charlie, Cajun Cannon, you are out of here. Have a great weekend. Say goodnight to the folks.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go, Saints. Woo!
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.